From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and solves all everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and, well, alongside of me is no one this week. We are under complete lockdown between pretty much every state around me, so I wasn't able to get into a studio this week to record an actual episode. Next week, we'll have something a little different. Pat from Ghostly is working on a way for us to record an episode via remote Zoom call, which is going to be fine. But in the meantime, because I don't have an actual episode recorded for you this week, I have a special episode that I wanted to upload. This is from March 1st, when Ghostly Podcast and Bob After Dark teamed up at C2E2 2020 at Podcast Central. We had a lot of fans show up for this, and it's very exciting to be able to perform in front of a live crowd and be able to release this episode. What's even more exciting is the fact that I was able to work with Pat and Rebecca and was joined by local paranormal historian Jack Blue. So without further ado, everybody, enjoy the Ghostly Podcast episode re-uploaded with Bob After Dark content, and hopefully next week we'll be back to somewhat normal episode order. Thank you guys so much for being patient with me during this time, and remember to support your local podcasters and just be safe and be healthy, everybody.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Is the old Chicago City Cemetery haunted?
Guys, we are live at C2E2. Woo! Let's hear it for C2E2, guys. Woo! Yeah! All right. I am Pat.
And I'm Rebecca.
And we have with us today the amazing Bob Anderson of Bob After Dark. He is my paranormal brother. Let's hear it for Bob After Dark. Woo! And he's returning to Ghostly for his second time.
Yeah.
So welcome back to Ghostly, Bob.
Oh, hey there, children of the night. My name is Bob, and I host Bob After Dark Paranormal Podcast. And before I begin, I just wanted to say thank you to the Ghostly Podcast for having me with you guys. You guys are my podcast heroes, my podcast Yodas.
We're podcast brothers.
Yes.
That's more like what it is.
Exactly.
Stop putting us on this podium that we're not on.
It's a big podium.
It is?
Yes.
Well, I'm pretty tall. I mean, I'm not as tall as you, but I'm pretty tall.
It's more like a pedestal.
Yeah, right?
I am very...
stepladder?
I am very, very honored to be here, and I'm very, very honored to be here entertaining our fans. We have several of you guys here, so that's great.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to thank Chuckload of Comics.
Yeah.
Chuckload of Comics. Let's hear it for them. And the Chump Cast.
Of course.
And Reed Pop.
Reed Pop.
And what else?
C2E2, of course.
C2E2 2020, right? They've been making us feel so at home and giving us the chance to do something like a live podcast. It's like a major event for us, right?
Yeah, this is really amazing.
So cool. We truly are thankful for everything that we've learned here, and we continue to grow, and C2E2 is growing with us, I believe.
Yeah, that's great.
Definitely. So today we have a crazy episode for everyone here and everyone at home. We are talking about the old Chicago City Cemetery. Have you guys heard of it? Yeah, Jack here has probably wrote a book about it.
Several books, actually.
Right.
It is really hard to believe that something like this happened in a major city like Chicago. So let me tell you this. There was a city cemetery in Chicago where now is Lincoln Park. Like, you know, you guys heard of Lincoln Park Zoo? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are limited in time, so let's just get right into the episode.
All right. Yeah, normally we do some other stuff, but we're going to...
Yeah, absolutely.
Move
so,
on.
Do you have a ghost story for us, Rebecca?
I have a ghost story for you.
This is my
Excellent.
Favorite part.
All right, so this is a ghost story.
Not my favorite part, because I'm not allowed to talk during it.
Well, it's inspired by something that we're going to debate and talk about later. So this is something inspired by real ghost sightings in Lincoln Park. All right. Lisa and her friend Taylor decided to take Taylor's young girls to the Lincoln Park Zoo. It was one of those beautiful days in March, a time in Chicago when the days are often still filled with winter chill. But today it was warm. It had been years since Lisa had been to the zoo, and Taylor and the girls had never been. It was a great day. The animals were fun, and... Uh-oh, I put my stuff in the wrong order.
The animals were probably a lot of fun. So, right. What did those animals do?
Sorry. Have you ever seen Animal Farm?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to show the kids and let them have treats, and they just had a great day. Their favorite, of course, was the barn, where they have lots of activities for kids to teach them all about farms. They got to be up close with chickens, goats, cows. It was fun and educational. What none of them knew, however, was that the barn had its skeletons.
Uh-oh.
Literally. It had been built on top of several skeletons left from when the land had originally been the old Chicago City Cemetery. The gravestones were moved, but not the bodies.
Ugh. What?
I know. After a little while of being in the barn, the women decided to take the girls to the restroom. Everything was fine until they were washing their hands. Little Ella spoke up first. Mommy, that lady's dress is funny looking. Lisa laughed while Taylor told her daughter to be nice. But then Jenny said, but Mommy, she's just staring at us in the mirror. At that moment, Lisa looked at the mirror over by the girls and gasped. Sure enough, there was a woman staring at them. And her dress was funny looking. It was old, Victorian, and white. And even more terrifying, the woman wasn't solid.
Ooh.
Instinctively, Lisa turned to look behind them and saw nothing. No one was there. Little Ella said, where did she go? Sure enough, when Lisa looked back, the woman was no longer in the mirror. Let's get out of here, she said to Taylor. And they got out of there back into the bright, beautiful day before Lisa told her friend what she and the girls had seen. One of the zoo employees heard Lisa tell the story and told them that they weren't the first ones to see this lady in white. She haunts this place, the employee said. Her body is buried beneath the barn, and she just can't seem to rest since her grave was disturbed years ago. Luckily, never heard of her hurting anybody. While Taylor hadn't seen anything herself, she and Lisa decided they had finally had enough of the zoo for that day. Ella and Jenny were sad, though. They kept asking if they could go back and talk to the pretty lady. She had told them they should come see her soon.
Wow.
There you go.
Hey, Pat.
Wow. Sounds like a microclimate to me.
I was going
to
say, that sounds like a microclimate in the bathroom.
Well, hey, we're going to see.
So Bob often asks me about ghost stories, and that's always my answer. It sounds like a microclimate.
And it had your favorite element of all time, a lady in white.
I yeah. know. It's
well, it's better
favorite.
Than an orb, at least. So, I hope there's no orbs today.
We'll have to see.
On my notes may say there's orbs, but we'll get to that.
No.
There might be.
All right, so now we're going to get to my favorite part of the show. I'm sorry that yours is the ghost story.
Mine... I like Rebecca's voice. It's calming.
Oh, okay. Mine's not?
I mean, it is.
All right, so we're going to talk about the history of the old Chicago City Cemetery.
All right.
So as a city starts to grow, one thing that you don't think about that it needs is a cemetery. Right? To put bodies.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's true. You got to find a big place where you can put all the
dead
people.
Right? Yeah. But, okay, so in 1837, the state of Illinois solved that problem for Chicago by giving them a piece of land that was then outside the city limits. It was located at the southern edge of what we now call Lincoln Park.
Ooh.
Hey. So it served its purpose until 1859. So actually, it did a lot better than expected.
The cemetery did?
Yeah, it did. Okay. Yeah, business
like,
was good for them.
We think this is only going to house like 6,000.
To be fair, though,
10,000.
If there is one job security in the world, it's probably being some kind of gravedigger or undertaker.
I'm going to live forever, actually, Bob.
Isn't that anti-skepticism is immortality?
I'm not calling it that.
No?
I'm calling it science.
Oh, are you one of those people that are going to get their brain frozen and then upload it into the internet later?
Get it frozen. It already is. Right now it's frozen. So it did a lot better than expected, housing tens of thousands of bodies. But at around 1859, there was a trend starting to bury your dead in the country so they can have some rest.
As opposed to the city where it's like loud and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
so
weird.
Hey, Pat, can I ask you a question real quick?
You can.
Do you think it matters to the dead if they're buried in the, busy what? Or not, considering they're they're just dead?
What do I think?
Yeah,
what personally, no, I don't think anything matters. You're dead.
That's what I'm saying. So what do you care if they're buried in the city or the country?
I didn't say that I am doing this. No. I'm just saying that people did this.
Sure.
So there wasn't country there. It was starting to be city, and this was also aided that there was so many bodies in the cemetery itself that people wanted to move their dead relatives to Graceland Cemetery. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and or Rose Hill Cemetery. Yes. You heard of that?
Heard of that one, yep.
Yeah, but that wasn't the only reason that they stopped burying people in the city cemetery.
Okay. I can think of some other reasons.
So a doctor, John H. Rauch. Rauch, right?
Rauch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rauch. I can't read. Began writing papers that really spotlighted a major issue that they were having. The cemetery was very close to Lake Michigan. And for those that live in Chicago, we all know that that's where we get our drinking water from, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably bad. Yeah, yeah, it would seep into the water, dead.
Dead bodies by the water, not so good.
Yeah, no, I typically try to stay away from dead things in my water. But, okay. I mean, there is plenty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
bacteria and stuff like that.
Sure.
The cemetery was below the water table, so it would definitely feed in there.
Yeah.
So people really jumped on this, and rightfully so. But for them, it was more so because they wanted a nice, pretty park in the area.
I was just going to say, could you imagine now if we you're like, yeah, I want to go visit the lake. Oh, I guess I'll go to the cemetery to go on the beach.
Well, it was a major event for them back then.
And I was going to say, once upon a time ago, people would go to cemeteries to have picnics.
Well, that's true.
I still do.
There are people that do that.
I took a Sunday stroll through the cemetery last week because it was nice.
Yeah, you invited me and I couldn't make it.
But most people are not
to see
like
our
us.
Favorite.
That's no thrill seeking, but people used to go out there and enjoy their family gatherings on their Sundays. So that was just normal practice. This. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But so people, you know, they really wanted this park. They really wanted it. And the city was going to do something about it. So bodies were supposed to be moved out from 1868 to 1880. But here's the thing. They only hired 10 people to move tens of thousands of bodies.
But they gave them 12 years. I mean, come on.
I'm not a math person, so that's moving at least 10 bodies
a
day.
I guess.
Probably.
Bodies a day?
I don't want to move any bodies a day.
Yeah.
So I don't know how your math worked out there. I'm not going to ask you to prove it, though.
And no cars at that time.
I winged that one.
Oh, okay.
It? Yeah.
So in 1871, there was an event that made this even more impossible, though. You guys ever hear of the Great Chicago Fire?
Yes.
Jack did. Jack's the only one paying attention to us right now. So.
No, someone else nodded. That's okay. We got it. We got a couple nods going on.
So when the Great Chicago Fire hit, we don't think about this, but it actually wiped out all the headstones from the cemetery. We think it just, you know, burnt a bunch of buildings, but it burnt headstones.
That's so weird to think about
that.
That
had to have been
that.
A really hot fire to burn stone, right?
Well, I think it was a pretty hot fire.
I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I definitely wouldn't roast a marshmallow
well,
there.
Wood
hey, thank
then.
You. Appreciate
they
it.
They were wood.
You,
okay.
Oh, I guess that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Thanks,
that
Jack. We appreciate
sense.
That.
Yeah.
So it burned everything except for the couch memorial.
Yeah. So if anyone's, has anyone, I don't know, has anyone seen this before? Yeah, Jack.
The couch memorial. Well, Jack's seen it probably daily, I think, right? So, the Couch Memorial has its own little history, though. It holds the remains of Ira Couch, who was a hotel owner and real estate investor. And Ira died in 1857. Nobody really knows why it's still there, though. Although, I have heard some really good theories. First, it's because it's a historic marker of where the cemetery was.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the reasons why it's there. It's the only above-ground sign that there was even a cemetery there. But also because it would just be a hassle to move it. It's made of marble.
Yeah.
So those 10 people would have had to move that marble memorial all the way to Graceland. So they didn't want to do that. And but now we actually don't know how many bodies are in there.
Yeah.
So there's speculation that it could be 13. There's speculations that it's just Ira.
Well, so yeah, if anyone's ever been over by
Lincoln Park,
there's just this building. I would say it's like a shed size in your backyard you might have.
Yep.
But and it's got a little fence around it. And since there's no other graves around it, you wouldn't necessarily think this is a memorial.
Memorial, yeah.
Mausoleum.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what is not inside the couch memorial?
Microclimate.
An actual couch. There's no actual couch
you
inside.
You don't know that. We've never been in it. No one
Jack,
has
is there
key.
An actual couch? We know you've been in there. Okay, so no, there might
nobody
be
even
one,
knows
no
who one, has the keys to this
no
place.
No one knows who has the keys. The family like claims not to have anything. Like, yeah. There's nothing. Like, no one has been in there.
So we just leave it there.
It's crazy.
So back to the cemetery itself. Nobody's really sure how many bodies were left under what is now a beautiful park. I've seen reports of over 10,000 possible bodies.
Wow.
That's what I read. Yeah, 10,000.
10,000.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And if you need proof of that story, since I'm all about the proof here, in 1998, a part of the park was
excavated.
Excavated. Sorry, I can't say that word. South Side. Chicago front room. Yeah, exactly. For the Chicago History Museum's parking facility, and the remains of 81 people were dug up
for just a set for one
parking garage.
Area, parking garage. There you go.
That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
So that's about all I have for the history.
Yeah.
Of the old city cemetery in Chicago.
It's really crazy. There's also a few other things that actually our friend Tony Zabalowski, who's our favorite tour guide, mentioned to me yesterday, which was the Ulysses S. Grant. Is that the statue that's there? And there were definitely some stuff that happened around the statue, right? Some people hung themselves and... Oh, wait, sorry. We have Jack here.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jack.
Hi,
so tell
Jack.
Us about the statue.
I'm a paranormal researcher and writer. The statue, so in the late 1800s, the statue actually, it was struck by lightning during a storm.
That's what it was.
And there was a lot of people hanging out at the in the park at that time. So they all ran. So it was a storm. They ran for cover because it was raining. So they ran underneath the statue because it's kind of like it's being suspended by pillars.
Yeah.
And while the storm was raging, lightning struck the statue and they all died.
Wow.
Because the statue is made out of limestone, so it kind of was...
Is a conductor?
You kind of say that like a news reporter with like no feeling. Like, these people just died.
They just died.
Jack, have a seat. Have a seat if you don't mind joining us for this.
You can hang out.
Put your headphones on too.
Put some headphones on and we'll get you going here.
Yeah, and then he also mentioned the suicide bridge.
Yeah, so also in the late 1800s, there was a bridge that became known as a suicide bridge because of the frequent suicides that were happening there. It was a popular place for drunks, prostitutes. They would often hang out there, and it eventually became known.
Wait, do you have the address for that? I want to... I mean, I'm sorry. No, never mind.
Pat, it's a family podcast.
I want to hang out with the drunks.
Uh-huh. Ask them if they've seen any ghosts.
No, they probably have.
Dealt with spirits of their own.
So, Jack, tell us about yourself. You said you're a paranormal investigator. You're also a author. You're writing a book.
Yes. I've been published in Sick News Magazine and Chicago Mag, and I'm currently writing a book on the paranormal.
Great. In Pilsen, right?
In Pilsen area.
Yeah, that's one of the... I'm working
one
on two
of
books.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Multiple books. I'm sorry.
We'll I can barely
on.
Read a sentence
Once
in a book.
Once you get
book,
your books
here
done, we'll have you back on.
Obviously, I don't know how to read because Southside, you know, that's what happens.
Your script just looks like there's a bunch of pictures on it.
There is, hieroglyphics. That's how I do this.
I see.
So the cemetery that was in Lincoln Park, it was actually four cemeteries.
Oh, that makes sense. That's how you got to the 10,000 bodies.
It was the Catholic cemetery, the Jewish cemetery, the Potter's Field, and the city. Cemetery.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
And there's different stories for different parts of those, right?
Yeah.
I know the Potter's Field, they had a lot of people there that, wasn't there Civil War people there as well?
Correct. It was Confederate soldiers that when they died in the prison camp down south, they would take the bodies to the Potter's Field.
That I could see that causing some unrest.
Definitely.
To have to be moved to somewhere and buried in like the poor cemetery.
Right.
That's usually the Potter's Field. All right, so we did some debate, guys. We just talked about some ghost sightings.
Jack, you ready for a debate too?
Sure.
All right.
You are outnumbered.
I am outnumbered.
Oh, you are.
Well, Jack, are you a believer though?
Well, I try to be unbiased, and I try.
Good,
to
thank you.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he's a skeptic. He's just unbiased. That means he literally rides in the middle.
All right, so
I'm going to count him as a skeptic
that's
on
not
this
fair.
One. So.
All right, so anybody out in the audience, anybody walking by, we want to know your opinions here. So the first story we have to talk about is one of Pat's favorites, as Bob mentioned, A Woman in White. This is kind of based on the story I talked about. So there were rumors of A Woman in White around the Couch Tomb years and years ago, and people like camped out to see if they could see her, and they never did. But mostly she is said to appear at the Lion House in Lincoln Park Zoo. She is seen with others wearing Victorian clothing by zoo workers.
You see that?
Need a drum like this. Thank you, Jack. Yeah. We appreciate that.
She is said to disappear pretty quickly after being seen. The creepiest part is that she's also been said to be seen in the ladies' room mirrors at the basement of the Lion House. And when the women turn around, no one is there.
Wow.
Sounds a little bit too much like Candyman, which is a preview that's been freaking me out lately. Anyways, the thought, of course, is that her grave was disturbed when they built the zoo.
So we
have a woman in white being seen by lots of people, and she appears in the mirror downstairs. What do you think, guys?
Well, since Jack is here now, I want to hear, have you heard this story?
Yeah, there's actually been quite a few sightings of this woman in white in a woman's bathroom in the Lion's house.
Maybe she just had to go to the bathroom.
Moaning Myrtle, Harry Potter, anybody?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, right? Moaning Myrtle. Thank you. Nice. That's,
now,
I
how many
a
times,
Harry Potter dress. I should have thought of that reference.
How many times have you been there, Jack? Just a guesstimate. Thousands?
Every day.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Have you ever seen this woman in white?
I have not. No.
No.
He's building a case. Yeah. How about for you, Bob?
I am.
Okay. So,
what are you thinking?
Truth be told, I did not know really too much about the story until I started researching it. I didn't know. So I started looking into it, and I can tell you that based on the evidence that we have and based on the history behind it, if there is a haunted place in Chicago, it would probably be this.
So you're using this argument during this one. I mean, we have this whole thing to go.
I understand that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Now, do I think there is a singular entity that hangs out in the mirror versus it could be anything? Probably. There's not a story of one single woman that's body got moved around or disturbed or gravesite got disturbed. So do I think that it's just one entity hanging out there? No. So maybe multiple things. One woman in white, many women in white.
There's too many women in white, though.
There's also two mirrors there, so it acts like this infinity mirror.
Oh.
So scary. Ghosts and mirrors are terrifying.
All right, I'm going to say that oftentimes people see this woman in white thing, and you know, you were saying that it's in that was in the bathroom. And the mirrors, I'm thinking that could add to it. Thank you for giving me that, because I really had no place to go until you said the mirrors. I really think the mirrors can add to that. It can add to that illusion, and it can make people feel that maybe there is something there.
It's like the old game Bloody Mary, right? Yeah. You sprinkle the water on the mirror, and you say Bloody Mary, and she supposedly
makes
it.
You've already said it twice.
Stop saying that.
Stop saying
Bloody Mary, okay?
Oh.
Bloody Mary. Stop saying
that. You just said it several times. It's
stop
like the
saying
other...
Bloody Mary, Bob.
What if I said the other Beetlejuice? If I say that a couple
that
times.
One's fine.
All right, so let's rate this story. I'm going to give it a 1.
Wow,
I'm give it a
that's
1.
That's pretty high for you.
Especially for a woman in white, that's pretty high for me. So we go 0 to 10.
0 to 10 in believability.
So
Zach,
Rebecca,
you're going to exempt yourself from this, because I know you like to stay neutral. So Bob, how about for you?
I want to say before we do this, I am super excited that I get to rate a ghost story on Ghostly.
That's very exciting.
I listen every week and I'm like, oh, this is like a 6 for me. This is like a 9 for me. So I'm very, very thrilled that I get to do this.
Yes.
Wow.
The in particular singular lady in white.
In the bathroom.
I'm going to give a 5.
A 5.
Only, and I'm going to run middle of the ground because.
Wow.
I don't believe it's one singular entity that they're seeing on repeat.
Okay.
So, lady in the mirror, I'm going with a 1. Lady in white, I'm going with a 5.
Okay.
I don't think there's a lady appearing in mirrors.
Jack, do you want to vote? I mean, you can.
So, 10 is unbelievable?
No, 10 is like, I totally believe it. This is fact.
Oh. And 0 is there's no chance.
Ooh, you gave it a 1. Jeez.
I gave it
a
1.
Right? Wow. He's low, yeah.
Well, I'm the skeptic, so that's what I do.
I'm going to give it a 6 because there was firsthand reports that we know of. So.
Okay.
This is why I am giving
He's privy to different information.
I am giving it a 7.
Oh.
Yes.
What?
This is totally believable to me. I think there's, you know, there's too many people that have reported this. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is definitely a more believable thing for me.
We do this. We have an audience we can ask real quick. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Just throw some fingers up. What do you guys think?
Raise your hands. Anybody thinking?
The woman in white at Linkin Park.
I see no fingers, so I'm going to say zero.
We got a 10.
We got a
full 10.
Wow.
A 7.
Anyways, what are you thinking?
A 7?
A 3.
3. I like the way you think.
All right.
Although you could have went a little lower there, but still, I mean, I'm saying, yeah. So let's move on to the next piece of evidence that you have,
Okay,
Rebecca.
So this one's got multiple parts, so I'm just going to talk about it, and then we'll kind of go through the different evidence.
Okay.
All right, and you guys can respond to each piece of evidence. So the other paranormal activity I want to talk about is the general haunting activity that happens all over the zoo, but especially at the barn. That's why I brought up the barn. I kind of mixed up the stories in the first part. When they were digging to build the barn in 1962, they unearthed a full skeleton. Actually, Tony told me yesterday it was multiple skeletons, so that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not cool, but it's cool. Anyways, we'll put a picture of this skeleton that they found in our show notes and, of course, on social media. Dr. Lester Fisher, who was the zoo director, he asked the city, like, hey, found a full skeleton or two or three or eight. What should I do with these things? And he never heard back from the city. They're just like, whatever, we're done with that. So,
love that.
So basically, he's like, all right, put them back. And they just put the bodies back and built the barn over it. So I'm sure all of us have been to the, like, farm at the zoo or whatever. Yeah, built over bodies. So since then, or some say this stuff is happening even before then, there are several types of paranormal disturbances that have happened. Yeah, anybody wants a button, by the way, just come on up and grab a button. So first of all, there are disembodied voices that have been heard. So people hear, you know, voices talking. One of the weird ones, though, that I heard is they heard people say the name Dr. Fisher, though he wasn't there.
Did they say Dr. Fisher?
Dr. Fisher. Even though he wasn't there and he was still alive.
Okay.
So it wasn't like it was him talking. Anyways, but they were mad at him because they put the bodies back. I don't know. Anyway, so what do we think about disembodied voices at the barn?
So I'm going to let Jack go first as one of the experts.
Any more information that you got?
I don't feel like that they would be angry with him because like he respectfully put them back.
That's true. He did rebury them where they had been.
Yeah, and
so
he didn't really disturb them. So, Bob, what do you think?
I'm going to disagree with you.
Ooh.
I am
what?
Wrong.
You're going to be a skeptic on this one?
No, I'm going to disagree and say they're absolutely going to be upset with him. Skeptic.
Wow.
There's a few things in the world I'm skeptical about, Pat. That is not one of them. Okay, and the reason why I'll still stick with the being angry, right? Imagine that you're at your house, right? Mm-hmm. And I pull you off your couch. I shake you up a little bit. And I put you back on the couch. Mm-hmm. And then above your couch, I decide to put a cardboard box right over your view of watching the television.
Very good point, Bob.
You might be back on the couch.
This sounds lovely, actually,
to me. But you're kind of like,
me.
Why did you bother me in the first place?
Exactly. And why did you
just
why did you put this cardboard box right into the view of my television viewing, right? It's the same idea with a gravesite. A gravesite is extremely, you know, it's... I don't want to use the word religious, but it is.
It's a
very
sacred
thing. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah,
the English person in the room.
Yes.
It's a very sacred thing, right?
Yeah.
That is like I said, it's the equivalent of me removing you from your couch. And I put you back, but I decided to put this thing over it. You are still disturbing the grave, regardless of which way you're looking at it. So, of course, you're going to anger somebody by disrupting their sleep.
Whoa,
so,
whoa.
All right. Whoa.
What are you whoa-ing over there?
Whoa. Okay, you're lying. Logic is saying that, of course they're going to be disrupted. That is saying that these bodies actually have some kind of feeling or some kind of entity to them. They are dead. All right. I'm going to tell you guys a quick story. I'm afraid of dead things, actually. So I used to work at a hospital, and I was responsible for bringing a dead body down to the morgue because I was hitting on a nurse that was in ICU.
This is a family podcast.
I was hitting on a nurse, and she's like, can you do me this huge favor? I was security, so I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I could definitely do that. I got on the elevator, and so this is a freshly dead body, okay? The legs moved. Like, it, like, went straight up in the air, and I screamed like a little girl, and then I pushed the legs down. Now, Now, I don't think that this thing felt anything, though, well, during that process.
You don't know.
I shouldn't say the bodies themselves aren't going to feel anything, but the spirit that's attached to it.
But that's what we're arguing. We're not saying that that's fact.
Let's get us back on track. I'm sorry. Because I want to make sure we finish.
Pat's getting
what do you think about the disembodied voices?
Okay, so voices are really. That's something that we hear a lot of when it comes to like a paranormal activity. And to me, there's a lot of things that I've heard that sounds like, you know, sound like voices that aren't actually voices.
Actually, in a previous episode, we talked about one that we heard.
Yeah, like I was eating with Rebecca at C2E2 and she took her fork and she touched the plate and it made a sound like she farted.
What are you talking about?
Guys, it sounded like she farted.
No, it sounded like
now, did she actually fart? No. No, she, it was just, it was just that noise.
No,
but
it
was funny to me.
No, you said it sounded like it was coming from my purse.
Your purse farted. Yeah. Yeah, so, right. I mean, I'm just saying it could be anything.
I'm going to say you're a no for the disembodied
You're
going to
say I'm a no for most of this.
Yeah, so. All right. All right, we have phantom footsteps are heard in the barn.
Okay.
So, what do we phantom footsteps and slamming doors. I'm going to put those together.
Jack, have you heard any footsteps in the barn?
No, I haven't experienced anything.
Have you talked to anyone that's heard footsteps in the barn?
Footsteps? No, I haven't talked to anyone that experienced footsteps.
I think this is a rare thing. You know, I'm not sure how often it happens. And that's the thing about this is we never really have statistics saying, you know, it happens more than this or that.
Now, what I noticed, though, is you said you've never heard anyone talk about footsteps. What have you heard them talk about?
The voices.
The voices. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Which, I mean... I hear a lot of voices right now, even though I have headphones on. I'm hearing at least three other voices.
I thought we moved on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't move on.
If I may, on the footsteps thing, because I'm going to back you up on this one, Pat.
Ooh.
You're in a barn, right? And there are animals that hang out in said barn.
That's true.
And I understand that maybe they're hearing footsteps coming from places that the animals that they know are there. I don't know what animal were specifically in the barn. Well, let's say they have cows there, right?
Yeah, cows are big.
Cows are in the barn.
The cow may be in the barn, right? And you may not hear the noise coming from the cow. I'll be family friendly. There are releases of things from said cows that are going to attract other animals to the area.
Wait, you came on Ghostly to talk about poopies?
Pat, okay. I'm trying to be professional.
You're talking about, so you're saying, well, I could see, though, in a barn that, like, if an animal has footsteps, that might echo.
Exactly.
And sound like it was coming from a different area. You think it's, like, disembodied footsteps.
Right. Or it's what I'm saying is it might be attracting another animal that you might not have inventory of. For example, a bird may come in and tap at it, a woodpecker, termites.
Gotcha.
I don't buy into that one so much, only because there's other animals in the barn.
Okay.
And animals act really weird around weird things. So I'll back you up on the footsteps.
All right. Okay.
Door slamming. Cows can't slam doors, to my knowledge.
That is
so
true.
Sure they can. Their tail?
Eh.
No.
I mean, dogs slam doors sometimes with their tail.
Do they keep the cows by the doors, though, Pat? Are you walking
I mean,
into a
I
door?
Would. I mean, I play The Sims, and The Sims are often slamming doors, and I don't see them do it, but I know that they're doing it,
bad.
Even though there's ghosts on The Sims.
Oh, goodness. All right. The scary part is, once you start talking about The Sims, we found out that a lot of our fan base also likes The Sims.
I love The Sims.
All right, so flickering lights.
Oh, Pat's mad. Look, he's heated.
I'm not heated, no.
Jack, have you heard anybody talk about flickering lights?
In the woman's bathroom, yes.
Oh, ooh. There we go. That would be terrifying because it's in the basement.
Yeah.
And then there's a ghostly figure in the mirror. Yeah, that sounds like the start of a horror movie.
Hey, you guys were able to drop the name Ghostly in the Ghostly podcast?
I love that.
Yeah, we need to have a bell sound effect every time.
Yeah, there you go. We should put that in there. Ding, ding, ding. We did it, Ghostly.
Bob, you got anything quick?
I do. So, I know from other experiences as far as like, if there's a spirit around, they are able to interact with electricity and other things.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll buy into that. If there's a spirit kicking around, I'll totally buy into flickering lights.
Especially downstairs.
Right.
Yeah. God, that's terrifying.
Okay,
all right.
So what I'm going to say is flickering lights, usually that is an electrical thing. Flickering lights can happen from all kinds of things. Like this light right here, it's hooked up. There's probably lots of wires that are going here, going there. Actually, looking around, there are so many wires. I mean, I could easily see that this can cause a problem. Or also, it could be that there's too many pulls from the electricity that are causing this to happen, that there's not enough electricity going in that can happen.
I feel like electricity is the one area where believers and skeptics will never meet. Because there's too many easy explanations for, like, well, it's just flickering, you know, like, it's electricity. And then we're like, yeah, but there's energy, and energy doesn't die. And, like, of course it's going to be there. So it's this, we're never going to agree on this one.
No, we're never going to agree. But, I mean, lights are the easiest thing for there to happen. I mean, electricity was not something we were.
I was going to say, I don't know that Edison would say that lights were easy to happen.
I mean, for them to flicker? Yeah, I would say Edison probably had a lot of flickering lights.
Yes.
I'm just going to say.
All the stuff taken individually, you could probably dismiss it, but it's when you have all this phenomena combined.
Ooh, I like this guess.
And that's when Pat was confronted.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna rate it at the end of this part. So we have one more to go, right?
We have one more to go. Okay,
all right, so we gotta do it quickly though.
That's all right. We got a little time. So there is their photos. So a lot of people take photos when they're at the zoo, right? And then when they get home, they notice there's a lot of anomalies in their photo.
Orbs.
Yep. Mm. So there's orbs, lights, fogs, whatever in their photos. This is another one of Pat's favorite.
Jack, what are your thoughts on orbs in general?
There you go.
Always on the fence with orbs, to be honest with you. Always on the fence. It depends. I need to see the picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See what's going on. You
need to be there, because what about if there's a reflection of something that you didn't see happening? You know?
Right.
What about you?
Real quick.
Bob.
Orbs are the easiest thing for me to dismiss.
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
I have one of my paranormal investigator friends out there, Steve. He's the guy who usually sits and analyzes photos with orbs and whatnot.
Yeah, what do you think about orbs? We have a vote for orbs?
You're not a fan of orbs. No.
No fan of orbs?
Hold on. Steve's going to tell you what he thinks about orbs quickly.
Yeah. No, I mean, orbs are usually just dust.
And
water molecules in the air. I mean, there's insects. So many other things that they could be.
Absolutely.
Than a ghost.
Yeah, no, orbs are.
Thank you.
In my opinion, as far as investigations.
He is a very large man, so I do not want to make him mad. So, and I know he knows how to fight because he's a wrestler, right?
I'll make it real quick. As far as any kind of evidence that someone ever presents to me, if somebody comes to me at anything I'm doing and say, I have a photo of orbs, I have this, it's the most easily dismissible thing you could possibly have as far as evidence. So, I'm not buying into the orbs thing. Now, fog, shadow people, things like that.
That's what I was thinking. I think some of it is like ghostly figure in the photo, not necessarily
ding,
just
ding,
orb.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh!
I do it without even thinking about it, guys.
Pictures in general. Pictures, I've always said, pictures take a snapshot of one microsecond of time. Or it depends on how long the exposure is. It could be, you know, longer time. Pictures are one of the most easiest things to manipulate through outside intervention. The flickering lights and the picture, definitely not buying that. Wow, somebody just broke something.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay,
all right.
Wow.
So now I think it's time. Let's just do a rating for kind of this whole concept of the paranormal activity happening at the barn. Do we think... You know, and maybe you don't believe all of the evidence, but taken together, does it sound like the barn is haunted? 0 to 10. Jack, do you want to vote?
Sure. For the barn itself, I'm a little bit more skeptical. I'm going to give it a 5, maybe.
Okay.
For the women's bathroom, I'm going to give it probably an 8, because we've also got EVPs from there, too.
Ah, there you go. I was going to put those in, and I left them out. So, okay. All right. What do you think, Bob?
The story as a whole, I think there's way too many... There's way too many coincidences. There's when you pick things apart individually, you could tell 100%. I'm going to go with the whole story as a whole is an 8 or a 9 out of 10 being
haunted.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow. You got some fans out there voting for you. All right, I'm going to give this one an 8. It seems like a lot of people talking, a lot of stories out there. Oh, my God.
Does Pat break a 0?
Yeah. All right, so what do you guys think question. I should do?
Skeptics
should,
in the
10?
House.
You guys are saying 10?
Ooh.
I should go 10?
Ooh, we got an 8.
Okay, we got an 8.
Five.
What did you say?
5.
5? Like oh,
five.
No, no,
nine.
No.
We got a 9.
That's
back
the lowest
there.
We got.
I'm going to go 0.
Oh!
Sorry, guys. These are all explainable things. These are all explainable things. There's nothing to me that calls out that says I have to believe that this is supernatural. 0.
Oh, wow.
I won a one on the other one.
I was waiting
you
for you to go.
Go one
so
on the
story
one.
As a whole, you're going with a zero. There's nothing.
Zero.
Wow.
Even though.
Or are we talking overall? The whole entire?
The whole entire.
Like well, the no, first part of the debate?
Barn, right?
Yeah, we're talking okay. about the barn. Zero.
Oh.
Wow.
The women's okay. women's washroom? Zero.
Ooh. Wow.
All right. So what do we think overall then? One more.
Zero.
Well, last vote for
that's
Lincoln Park. For Lincoln Park, especially. We talked a lot about the zoo, but these things kind of happen all over the park.
Can I say zero now?
You can say zero.
I'm saying zero now. Sorry,
all
guys.
Right,
sorry.
All
sorry.
Right. How do we think overall?
You're going on. Go on ahead, ladies first.
I'm going seven. I'm going seven for the whole place because I think
seven.
Yeah,
wow.
Some places are more than others. But
this is like the Price is
yeah.
Right. They're feeding
like,
them.
This is like the best to have an audience like flashing scores at us.
The overall.
That's like a million there. It only goes up to 10.
No, he's got six.
Oh, six. Okay. So it's like, yeah, okay.
So I was close. I got seven.
The Bob After Dark ranking of uh-huh. Lincoln Park overall is an eight.
Oh, it's, your team
it's actually
said 10.
Bob Before Dark right now.
Oh, you were just waiting for that, weren't you?
He was. He had that plan, I think.
I've been waiting
He's
forever.
Like, I got this joke is coming, man. Yeah. Bob Before Dark.
All right, Jack, what do you think overall for Lincoln Park as a whole? Do you think it's haunted?
I'm going to go with a good nine.
Nine.
Oh, no. Yeah. Nine, wow.
The audience is happy with you.
Now, Jack, I want to ask you, is this one of the most haunted places that you know of?
But neighborhood-wise,
yeah,
I'd say Lincoln Park is. There all sorts of structures in Lincoln Park are haunted.
Yeah,
okay,
that's true.
Okay.
Enough time to pull them real quick. Show of hands. What do you guys think?
Haunted.
We have 10.
We got 10.
6. 0. You don't even have to try it.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh,
we know
Nick
Matarage.
We got some 7.
Says 0.
5. Surprise. 10. 5. All right.
All right. So I think that's it, right?
Yeah. I think we can
okay,
wrap
so
it up
I,
here.
I want to thank you guys so much for listening. I want to thank everyone that came over here.
Yes, thank
I
you
really
so
wanted,
much.
I really wanted so many people that they had to call security to have you guys escorted away. But we almost made it. I mean, it's pretty close. People
We're,
are having
yeah,
trouble getting
you know,
by, and I like that. So please share us with your friends and family as word of mouth is our best advertisement. Special thanks to Jack. Jack, how can we plug you?
Yeah, well, tell us about what you do. Where can they find you?
My Facebook is Jack Blue, BLU.
Okay.
My real name is Jack Chavez, but on Facebook I go by
Whoa.
Jack Blue.
All right. Whoa. Wow,
know
we just
this
got
about
some
you.
Information,
Batman, you're not
people.
Supposed to give off your secret identity, Batman.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
And they can find you, a lot of times they're doing the tours?
Yeah, and the Chicago Hauntings tours.
Chicago
yeah.
Hauntings
I do with
tours.
Tony Zabelski.
Yeah, so if you take one of Tony's tours, which are amazing, you can also get Jack, so it's like a bonus.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. All
He's
right.
got so much information.
Two
it's
for
crazy.
One.
Two for one.
All right,
yeah.
Bob, tell us about your stuff.
Okay, so for all the audience that don't know who I am, you guys can check out Bob After Dark. It's a weekly podcast. You guys can find you guys can listen to my show. I'm a radio personality as well. You can listen to my show every week on Mondays or Tuesdays, and then the show gets uploaded in a couple days later. You guys can listen to me wherever you find your great podcasts at.
And where can they listen to you on Monday or Tuesday?
Facebook Live, where you can listen WJOB on the WJOB and on the TuneIn app. Wherever you listen to your radios
there
at.
There you go. Or Bob After Dark on Facebook.
As far as Ghostly goes, the easiest way to find Ghostly is to go to ghostlypodcast.com.
Yep.
And if you go to the Find Us page, we have all of our links. We're on every place that you can possibly listen to a podcast. We are there.
Yep, you got it.
And we're also on YouTube.
Yeah,
can I say, as a fan of Ghostly Podcast and Bob After Dark, and as a paranormal researcher, these are the two best podcasts.
Oh, my God. Your check's in the mail, Jack.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, definitely check us out. We did a lot of video here at
CTV2,
so we're going to be putting that up on our Ghostly YouTube channel for sure.
Absolutely.
So definitely check that out.
So our next episode will come out on March 18th. By the way, guys, this one will be this Wednesday.
This Wednesday
it'll be out. We're going to add some more to it because we usually do polls and we usually do a bunch of other stuff. But our next episode is going to be on The Conjuring.
Ooh!
Yes, the movie and the story behind it, and there's a lot of creepy things.
If I may, I just wanted to plug my newest episode.
Oh,
just
yeah,
came
please.
Out on Friday.
Yes.
On the 11 Mile Road. And I just want to thank you guys so much. As Jack said, you guys are, in my opinion, the best podcast there is.
You're a podcast too.
I like my show.
We love
there's
your show.
There's room for all of us.
I know.
But The Conjuring will come out on March 18th.
Yeah,
thank you guys
and
so much.
This episode
so
you know. Days. Thank you so much.
Thank
we appreciate
guys.
It.
And
come
until
to the
next
fun.
Time.
We love you guys.
Yeah.
Until next
thank
time, you guys want to say it with me?
All right, ready, guys?
Stay ghostly.
And as above, so below, everybody.
Memoriam Development.